Blog Talk Radio.
Show. My name is Don Allen. We're broadcasting live from the Apple Studios in downtown Minneapolis. Thank you for joining us today. Mr. Edward is on the international and national desk in the other studio. He'll be joining us momentarily. But now we have had a lot of different happenings here going on in the Twin Cities with the news about CSI and the alleged bullying with Superintendent Johnson to push this money to a particular group and organization, which leads us to ask the question, you know, what was the prerequisite to even do anything like that? Because some of us in the community know already that none of these people involved have the type of academic acumen to deal with the achievement gap or even to deal with what's going on now with less than 50% of our school children in the Minneapolis Public Schools even graduating, which is horrific in itself to even say. And so, you know, this leads me to wonder about the circumstances or the disposition on school board director Rebecca Rebecca Gagnon, who is running for reelection, a DFL endorsed school board member in a non-partisan race, basically. And she has supported CSI from day one. And so I'm very curious, okay, because I just put it to you like this. If I have a friend, which I did at one time, well, he's still my friend, who is having a challenge in what they do, or if they have a challenge in understanding or comprehending, I would say, stop and say, hey, you know, what's going on? How can I help you? Or how can we get this done? Now, Ms. Gagnon has known for a while that there's something fishy, something sneaky, and I allege that, of course, going on with this whole outfit. So we don't have any reports. We don't have any documentation and plenty of academic background personally myself to justify me even talking about this particular subject. And I am currently at a university here in the Twin Cities. When I'm done, I will have a master's in arts and teaching. So for those of you in the chat room that want to, you know, ask me those type of questions, I feel I am happy to answer those questions. And so getting back to school board director Gagnon, I mean, how do you sit up there and you know that the guy is absolutely having problems, and me and this person, I don't have to mention his name, but we have a love-hate relationship. I might be his partner one day defending him, the next day I might not like him, and it doesn't matter. That's just how we roll. But the thing is, you knew, Director Gagnon knew the reports were not in, okay? And I allege that she knew there was an issue. Why didn't she pull CSI's fiscal agent and say, hey, you know, we really need to get these reports in? I mean, it would have been better in the long run if we would have, you know, had this information and if everyone would be doing things, you know, as you should do in business. But we don't have that now. So we're set in a situation where State Senator Jeff Hayden is under serious scrutiny right now, and also Senator Bobby Joel Champion is under scrutiny. There is a group of women here in the Twin Cities that are actually going to file an ethics complaint against Bobby Joe, Senator Champion. And they have been in contact with the Independent Business News Network and several other news networks to explain their position. So it troubles me a little bit to see this happening, because there's two sides to look at this. You know, these are our black or African American elected officials. And if you note in each one of these cases or cases where black officials are involved, from Detroit to Newark, New Jersey to Chicago to Los Angeles, there's always some kind of scandal, or there's been scandals that end their careers, period. And here we have a scandal that is just really lighting up. But again, there are those of us in the black community here in the Twin Cities who have watched this go on and on and on for years. So let's put it in perspective. You look at North Minneapolis from 2005 to 2012, and let's give it an estimated $400 million going through that community from 2005 to 2012, going into the 200-plus nonprofits in that area in Minneapolis. What do we have to show for today? Are the people in North Minneapolis, are their lives any better than what they were in 2005 today? And I have to answer this question and say no. I think there's a huge problem with infrastructure, with economic stimulus into that community, into South Minneapolis, into other areas, Northeast Minneapolis, and other areas of the city. And I don't think the city leaders are really taking into account the need for job creation. You know, we are some of the best trained Negroes in the United States. You know, they really emphasize training, but, you know, why are those folks who were trained in 2005 still on the unemployment list in 2014? Why has training not been effective enough to, and I'm not talking about people that go to the four-year, two-year institution and get into corporate America because they're on the right path. I'm talking about training for industry, the HVAC, the trackers, the forklift drivers, the construction workers, the cement layers, and those people. Why aren't they working? Again, I pose the question, and our phone lines are open at 347-426-3904. You know, what happened in 2005 and what's happening in 2014? How come we still have the same unemployed people? And Mr. Edwards is returning to his studio chair, Studio B. Welcome, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. I was at the foreign desk, if you will, checking out some chatter of the possibility of one of the coalition aircraft being shot down inside of Syria. Cannot confirm that, and so we will continue to monitor our shortwave communications network and et cetera. But continue on, Mr. Allen. You're talking a little bit about the economic situations here.
Yeah, the economic situations, and you know we have had a lot of shootings here, and I didn't really get into that, Mr. Edwards. But what I was saying is, you know, while you were on the desk and obviously listening to me over the speakers, that you know we need some kind of economic development, some opportunities for these, especially the youth 16 to 21, all across the city of Minneapolis and the surrounding suburbs, because I don't mind, you know, create some weird things that go on, and that's what we have. Because I told you a story, and I said this story many a times. In the city, I went to Minneapolis Central High School, but before I got there, when I turned 14 in the city of Minneapolis, you could work a job 25, 30 hours a week, sometimes 40 hours a week, depending on where you were, and get paid through the neighborhood youth corps while you were in.
Yes.
Ran by Mr. Pierce at the time. And they need to bring something like that. We have people now that, you know, are talking GED, but they don't know what GED stands for. And if you don't really know what a general educational development test is, then you're having a huge challenge, you know, in general. And again, those phone lines are open. Go ahead, Mr. Edwards.
Absolutely. And, you know, I concur with your observation. I mean, I don't know how long it's been. It has been a long time since the inception of this program, the Ron Down program, coming to you out of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul. We've talked about this, and we have, in fact, been ridiculed in some segments of our so-called leadership community that we don't know what we're talking about, that the money is being well spent. And that's a key, if you will, the money is being well spent. And et cetera. And yet now, today, we're looking at some real serious allegations. I have to call them allegations, Mr. Allen. I have to be fair to the system of jurisprudence, if you will, and innocent until proven guilty. But there are indicators that a lot of money that has been designated to do just what you've been talking about for the last 7 minutes for young persons, and particularly African Americans of color, has been abused, if you will, has been misspent, if you will. In fact, I think it was interesting that senior state senator Jeff Hayden, Democrat, Minneapolis, indicated that the current director, if you will, 24-year director, maybe he's been there a little too long, William Davis, longtime Democratic Party, quote-unquote, loyalist, if you will, has so totally mismanaged the Community Action Agency, CAP as it's called, that he should immediately submit his resignation, if in fact not be fired. Only problem is about being fired, people are fleeing the board, 15-member board, right? And people are fleeing the board. Our federal state, our federal congressman from the 5th Congressional District, the Honorable Keith Ellison, announced his resignation yesterday, post-haste, if you will. Others are bailing out. Council President Barb Johnson has directed the city attorney to begin to take a look at recouping monies. And by the way, I just kind of wonder why they only went back to 2011, Mr. Allen, because in 2006, the federal government fined the Minneapolis CAP agency $100,000 for improprieties and inconsistencies and bad, just general bad bookkeeping. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to figure out at what point does someone say there's a problem.
Yeah, and that's the big question. When do you say that? When? I mean, we had this discussion in our production meeting, and Mr. Edwards, you're fully aware of this, as a lot of people are, that these people do not feel in these positions that they do not have to answer questions from anyone.
You're absolutely correct, and I hear a couple phones. That the number is open, though, on our regular line. We're not going to take these text messages and offline calls. My cells are ringing, but you know, Mr. Allen and I have made a decision. If you want to talk about this matter, because see, now we're looking at a ethics investigation of our two sitting African American senators, and I think that that's just not healthy for our, you know, African American political structure here in Minnesota. I mean, we only have two. We've never had any more than two, quote unquote, at a time. Actually, we've always basically had maybe one state senator and maybe two representatives. And for a long time, they were all from the suburbs. Remember how we used to talk about that many years ago, Mr. Allen, when you were an apprentice, an intern at the Urban Contemporary Station here in the Twin Cities.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, phone lines are open. I want to hear what people are thinking and saying about these allegations. I mean, these are serious allegations, talking in terms of trips. But I'm sorry, Mr. Allen, go ahead.
No, I just want to say here, I have the official document with the two complaints. And they are very telling, Mr. Edwards, and, you know, I'll put it like this, and I want some of you are sending me messages, you know, why are you hating on black folks and all this. This is not the case.
No, that is not the case.
And what we're doing is we're looking at accountability, because other people know this. But if we look at these complaints kind of say it all, because, I mean, the Republicans file an ethics complaint. Everyone hates the Republicans. We know that already, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this complaint number one, that Senator Hayden used his influence as a state senator to push the Minneapolis School Board into approving a $375,000 no-bid contract to the Community Services Initiative, an organization that financially benefited his friends and family members. So
yes,
if you look at this, and I was on the phone not too long ago, Mr. Edwards, in the studio with a law professor. He said if anybody in that group is a friend or associate, they got him right there. You know, financially benefited his friends or family members. Period.
Yes. You're talking about the senator.
Yeah, the Center for
Suicide. Yes. Now, my understanding is, and of course, people can go to their computers, their alternate computers, and to authenticate. I really was saddened earlier today when I was informed that already the Star Tribune had posted a story for tomorrow morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, which indicates, as you said earlier, that the Republicans have filed a ethical complaint. Two actually now. Mr. Allen has it there in his studio. I have copies over here. And that they are centering on this entity, CSI. Now, I know that we've been accused in the last 24 hours. I'm talking about us. This program has been accused of creating problems for CSI. And I just don't understand that. We're not the Star Tribune. We didn't write the story. We're not the state of Minnesota. We didn't do the audit. We're just reporting the news. I mean, maybe we shouldn't report it. Is that what people are saying to you and texting you at this hour, Mr. L?
Yeah. They, you know, when the mainstream papers put it out, you know, it becomes law. I mean, it happened. But we've been talking about this. I mean, Mr. Edwards, you've been talking about this for decades. And, you know, I just joined the news stuff in about 2005. And I said, wow, just looking at this, the way the money goes. If you just follow the money in the black community and you wonder why there is not more African-American or black, whatever you prefer, millionaires, are people doing really, really well? Don't get me wrong. There are black men and women in Minnesota that are doing very well. And it isn't because they found something to latch onto in the last 20 years. This is a generational wealth that these families have had, you know, but there's nothing new coming about. Like, you know, in the Jewish community, the white community, the Hispanic, Latino community, there's nothing new in the black community. You don't see, you know, the Crutchfields, the dentists, the doctors, the people. It's too much to even get into, Mr. Edwards, to tell you the truth. And it bothers
me. I concur. Like I said, I'm concerned about our political stability here in Minnesota. We cannot afford to lose those two senatorial seats, if you will, under any circumstances. It'll be another 50 years before we will be able to reclaim a seat in the Minnesota Senate. Maybe possibly do a little bit better in the Minnesota House of Representatives, though right now we only have one African-American, very outstanding female representative, Democrat from St. Paul. She is just a hardworking, courageous, and very honest state representative. But if we lose those two senators, even one of those two senators, you know, it's going to speak volumes to our capabilities here in the state of Minnesota. Now, you know, for those in states that have 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 African Americans in the Senate and 14, 17, 20, you know, in the House of Representatives in their states, I mean, they probably don't have an appreciation of the fear factor. But I can well remember a time in this state when we had no black representation in either the House or the Senate, and I remember how hard we had to work as communities to try to fight our way back into to that political arena. And so I'm saddened. I have to say it like that. I'm saddened that we've come under attack here on the Don and Ron program, that we have been talking about it, that there's something wrong, something's going on. The poverty level for African Americans is the worst in the United States. It exceeds even the state of Mississippi. I mean, people don't want to deal with that, yet we have all of these programs. We have these CAP agencies. By the way, we have 36 CAP agencies here in the state of Minnesota, 36. And one of the things that's so sad about the audit, again, we didn't do the audit. The state of Minnesota did the audit. Is I just don't understand how Mr. Davis could maneuver himself into a situation, and the board paid no attention that 68% of the operational cost of the agency is administrative salaries and etc. When the average in the state of Minnesota for the other 35 CAP agencies is 15%, you know, and then you're able to force the board, or they agree to give you $36,000 so you can buy a new car. They give you a $17,100 bonus, if you will, for work well done. They send you all over the country with your girlfriend, you know, to allegedly attend conferences and et cetera. And nobody saw anything wrong with that, if you will. And I looked at the names in this morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and I was just saddened. A former councilwoman, Natalie Johnson Lee, if you will, Faith Harrison. I mean, there are some people there that were outstanding, upright citizens and politicians of our beloved state. Nobody now can explain why they were not, and this is a key legal word, and I know that you talked it over with the law professor that we commiserated with, that this represents an absence of due diligence, doesn't it, Mr. Allen?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's
yeah.
They just kind of suspended, you know, their process per, you know, their charter. And it's an ugly situation for Mr. Davis. And again, you know, Mr. Edwards, I would like to remind listeners that we are not inflicting contempt prior to investigation, but it's obvious that an investigation has went on with the state, and the state's finding are facts. This is not just me and you.
And now we have the conservative right, and we're in the middle of an election year here. In another 30-some days, we will have elections for the entire House and some Senate seats. I don't think that control of the Senate will revert back to your friends on the right, Mr. Allen, but the Republicans could very well take control of the House, if you will. And with these kinds of revelations, if you will, shenanigans, if you will, it makes the Democratic Party look pretty greedy and pretty insensitive and even possibly corrupt. And, you know, we like to pride ourselves here in Minnesota, here in the land of 10,000 lakes and good Scandinavian food and good German
Ooh.
Beer.
Ooh,
that,
yeah.
yeah, you know, that we're not Chicago, buddy. You know what I mean? We're not upstate Illinois. You know, we're not New York City. We're not Detroit. You know, we're not sending our mayor to the penitentiary and things like that. Yet I'm concerned, Mr. Allen, about what this absolutely means, and it also comes at a time when our community, and we're going to be getting into that, hope that some folks are concerned about that. And I think we want to repeat that number. I mean, in the last 6 days, we've had 16 people shot, and we've had 5 individuals die, 4 of them in the shootings of 16, and another, a young African-American, shot and wounded in a nightclub in downtown Minneapolis on August 9th, if you will, shot 5 times by a gunman. And he passed from this life at around 11:30 Sunday evening at MCHC. Hospital then had to be shut down. His gunmen tried to force their way into the medical facility. 4th time that's happened this year already. Well, let me just say it like this, Mr. Allen, because there's no cause at this point with regards to the to the investigation. The sheriff of this county, Richard Stanek, who we just had on this program last week, we were very honored to have him, has ordered armed deputies into the emergency room at HCMC. It's just that bad. Medical professionals at MCHC, county workers, said they would not come to work if there was not a new security protocol, okay? And that's just terrible. It's got to be frightening, Don, you know what I'm saying? You look up and gunmen are shooting into the hospital and gunmen trying to break through the doors. And this is the 4th time. Now I'm being told, I need to verify, Mr. Allen, but I was told that last night there was another lockdown of the HCMC, one of the largest physical facilities in America, if you will. And, you know, one of the things that's happening is that with the disparity, if you will, and desperation economically and et cetera, young African-Americans not able to find work here, if you will, deals now being cut. With leadership of our civil rights organizations now taking contracts from some of the prime contractors on the Viking Stadium in return for silence. I mean, I have to, you know, I, this is what is being said by reliable sources, people, and et cetera. You know, this is not a question of black hating, if you will. It's just it's a question of factual information. And I just don't know. You see the heartache and the pain. I just don't know where it is. So let's give the phone number. Phone lines are open for calls from anywhere, if you will. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, the number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904.
And we're at war again, if you will, as we said, coming back from the foreign desk. Additional American troops being prepared to redeploy, if you will, to the Middle East, if you will, and now discussions about American troops going inside of Syria. The Russians now indicating that there are some legal international law questions that are involved here. Has the United States gone too far? Yet on the other hand, ISIS has terrorized. Not only that part of the world, but it's terrorized us here in the United States. And by the way, in that we're swinging now on any number of issues, coming back to the issue of governance, Minneapolis, our beloved Twin Cities, Mr. Allen, has been designated as one of three cities in the United States that will now be closely scrutinized for the recruitment of foreign fighters from here in the Twin Cities to be sent overseas, as well as the possibility that there's training going on and there could be terrorist attacks, if you will. And it appears that the three American cities, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, here our own beloved Minneapolis, and it looks like it's between New York and for whatever reason, Chicago, where there has been activity, there have been alerts, if you will, it's kind of frightening, if you will. We have task forces of federal agents have been quietly coming into Minneapolis. You and I were discussing the other evening as we were both monitoring the night helicopters, the attack helicopters that have been flying back and forth across the Twin Cities for the last month, right? Well, yeah. We weren't supposed to talk about it. We were kind of told as journalists that we're not really supposed to talk about that, but these attack helicopters and what they're doing, Don, you know, is that they're surveying. You know, they're looking at targets of opportunity. Now, this is here in the United States of America. Man, that should scare people.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah. Now, I know you're getting some text messages there and people talking about, you know, the crazy talk, but the phone lines are open. Let's call and hear your observations and opinions with some of these things that are going on, because you know, we've got a real crisis here in the Twin Cities, and we're possibly getting ready to lose our cap agency because the federal government is already talking in terms of possibly shutting it down. The state is talking about taking back $2.8 million in state money for the agency, if you will. What's the number? What's their budget, Mr. Allen? $15 million.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And they do weatherization and fuel assistance. God knows what happens in this Arctic climate if we lose our cap agency and we're not able to get. And it, you know, it's almost October, man. And what starts happening is that the utilities companies are sending out cutoff notices because we have a rule here in Minnesota that after October 15th, you allegedly can't cut heat off and service off. So the utility companies are, you know, in a scramble mode right now to come out and cut your service off. If you can't get down to the office of the cap agency and make arrangements and et cetera, and it's kind of frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Mr. Ellis,
yeah.
We have a telephone call. We have a caller.
Oh, let's get the call. Let's
caller.
Caller, welcome. What can we do for you? What's your question?
Hi, this is Terry Izaguirre from the Minneapolis Mirror.
Okay. Go right ahead. What can we do for you, Terry?
A couple of things. Number one, as far as the Senator Hayden situation, the first thing I'd like to say is I think Jeff Hayden personally is a very nice man. But I remember it is his M.O. to sign up for boards, such as when he claimed he was part of the Powderhorn Association and when he ran for city council. When Elizabeth Glidden ran the seat, he was part of the Bryan Association, and he was always MIA, but he always used it. When speaking, that he was always a part of these boards and associations, when in fact, he never showed up for anything.
Mm.
So
okay.
I'm not surprised.
So you're talking about there was a pattern in practice.
Correct. I mean, we're talking, wow, 10, 15 years of, you know, this type of thing.
Okay.
Right up until, like I said, when he ran for the 8th Ward City Council that Elizabeth Glidden won the first term. And he was on the Bryan Association then, but he never attended the meetings. He was part of the Powderhorn Association where I myself lived in Powderhorn. He never showed up. So I'm just, again, Senator Hayden is a very nice man, but this is his M.O. that I have witnessed from the past.
All right.
Another thing.
And of course, go ahead. I'm sorry, ma'am.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to be rude. What were you going to say?
You are, and you are, of course, a resident of Minneapolis, resident of the South Side at that particular time. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so that we don't get caught up in that somebody called in from Bemidji. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to be funny.
No, correct. I live there,
but, yeah,
and actually,
somebody called in from Bemidji. Okay, go ahead. You had another observation.
Well, and I did. It seems that Chief Janae Harto held a press conference today over on the north side.
Where? Oh, is
and,
that right?
Yes, and I find that interesting. Defending her not attending the community meeting last week at Sabathany, and
okay.
Don Samuels seemed to be sitting up behind her. It is just reported in the Star and Tribune that this was held today. But I have to tell you, I attended a listening session hosted by Blong Yang and Jeff Johnson earlier at the Urban League.
Uh-huh.
And I need to say this. Because I was so livid because I thought I was going to bust at the seams. I left. I could not sit and listen to any more. There was an inspector, quite a few police officers there. And an inspector was part of the panel, as was you, Mr. Edwards.
As I was. I mean, I'm sorry, Mr. Allen. I must be transparent here. The caller, knows that I was a member of the panel, so I want to be transparent here and that I was a member also of that panel.
Correct. And
yes.
As was Mel Reeves, Lisa Clemens, who stood up and gave up her seat to Roxanne O'Brien when she came in, mm-hmm. and Inspector, and I apologize, I don't remember his name.
Dose.
Who is Inspector for the 4th Precinct on the north side here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very irritated because people had gotten in line to ask questions, and Mel Reeves and Lisa Clemens took it upon themselves, and I videotaped this, so I do have video for authenticity of what I am saying, just chose to start slamming this inspector with questions. And I have to tell you, for all transparency reasons, I want to know why Lisa Clemens did this to this inspector when she was sitting with Chief Janae Harto yesterday, because she posted pictures all over Facebook over North at, I think, North Regional Library for restorative judgment or restorative something meeting.
Restorative judgment.
So
yes.
You have Lisa Clemens sitting on a panel acting dumb, attacking an inspector when she sat with the chief herself yesterday, which actually makes Levy Pounds look like an idiot after last week's thing, too. So,
Levy Pounds was the professor at St.
Moderated
Thomas, was the moderator for the event at Sabathany last week, just for our listening audience so that they have the clarification and clarity that we need. Mr. Allen, do you have any questions? I do have a question of this caller.
Can I say something just real quick, and then I'll take your question? The
All
reason
right.
I am bothered by what happened tonight is because these people come with, they want solutions, but you can't create solutions when people sitting on, Mel Reeves and Lisa Clemons in particular, are not being transparent about their actions. And pretending, you know, don't attack an inspector when you had the chiefs here yesterday.
Okay. And you said, and this was a meeting, which I think was posted, Mr. Allen, on many websites, of the chief at a meeting at the public library, North Regional Library. Yes. Well,
restorative justice, that was what it was, that
yes,
they all met
justice,
together.
Yes. Well, it's quite clear that we have a problem. I think that many of our listeners would agree, and I assume that you would, that we have a problem. Mr. Allen and I, as journalists, are hearing some interesting things. We're hearing that $10 million is going to be brought into play for the NAACP. Stair-Step Foundation, Mr. Allen, CSI and others. I mean,
excuse my bluntness, but if people are looking at Al Flowers, Lisa Clemons, Jerry McAfee, or any of them that are running hand in hand, there is no hope for these young black men. I am out here at these homicide scenes. More, anybody will tell you I'm out here. I go
right.
to, I, none of these people, I'm tired of that phrase, boots on the ground, because those saying about boots on the ground don't have shit on the ground. All they've got is somebody's boot up somebody's ass trying to get 10 effing dollars.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to try to keep it a little toned down.
I apologize.
But we can do that on Blog Radio. I mean, we can get
yeah, yeah. The family okay. broke. Yeah.
I didn't say it. I caught myself.
Yeah.
Mr. Allen, did you have any observations?
Yeah,
I just
understand Mr. Gary's frustration because, you know, I mean, we've had these conversations, Terry, since, 2008 on different stuff that has been going on?
If not longer, Don.
And it's just like, well, I even at one point, Mr. Edwards, I asked one of these people, what does GED stand for? And and they couldn't tell me. And I went, oh, my goodness. You know, and so how does that happen? When I opened the show, Mr. Edwards, when you were on the international desk,
right.
I had talked about, you know, Rebecca Gagnon, director of Minneapolis Public School, director Rebecca Gagnon, and how...
Me say for our listening audience, when Mr. Allen indicates Ms. Gagnon is a director, he does not mean a paid employee. That's what we call our board of trustees here in Minneapolis. They are directors, board directors.
Board directors, yeah. That she worked, like, in the Singapore school district. She knows a smart person from a person that might not be so smart. And so... I've seen her on this cable access television show so many times that it just made me wonder that how come if she's this close with these individuals, why didn't she tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, you guys really need to get a report into the school district so we can see what you're doing? Or, you know,
well,
or this is, you know what
well,
I mean? It's never happened.
And I would like to say one thing, Don. Part of the reasons I listen to this program is because excuse me, you and Mr. Edwards are informative. I will say, in fairness, I thought the inspector was as fair and honest as he could be considering his position. But Mr. Edwards, I do need to state that you were the only one that came with history, documentation of police misconduct, I thought it was a shame because you brought context, and truth. And I just needed to say that. I learned things that I did not know before.
Yes, okay. Well, that's what being a panelist is supposed to be about. I appreciate the reflection. Yes, okay. Anything else to us?
That's it.
Yes, Gary.
No, and I will put the video out.
Okay.
You have a video. You were one of the people with cameras there because we saw a number of individuals with headsets and et cetera, people recording the meeting and et cetera. I don't know how much of that was NSA. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But there were a lot of police there. Of course, we were only a block and a half away from the police station, the 4th Precinct, but, you know,
Michelle Gross of CUPB was there, and I believe one of the officers that were in attendance was the one that they all attacked about the threats at the Cub Food on the north side.
Hmm. Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know that are you talking about with Miss Wintana and where she was ticketed?
Correct.
By Officer Barnes, an African American officer, young officer. Who grew up on the north side, by the way?
Yeah, there's more to that than meets the eye, Ms. Izagiri. We're going to have to talk offline regarding that, and it probably will shock you, to say the least. And but, yeah, there's a little bit more than meets the eye going on with that whole situation. So.
All righty.
They made a very dramatic presentation last Thursday at Sabathany with a crowd of over 200 about how they were threatened and et cetera, as did Miss O'Brien in her presentation in which she talked in terms of an incident at her home. I wasn't quite sure about the times because I heard times that were different than what was conveyed to me off of websites and et cetera. But, you know, sometimes people become discombobulated as it pertains to anger and et cetera. And so, you know, maybe they'll... I just assume that Ms. O'Brien has filed a complaint with the Internal Affairs Unit or the Department of Justice would be the best bet if they don't like the Internal Affairs. But I heard a lot of things, Ms. Isagiri, but one of the things that puzzled me, I didn't hear a single person in there indicate that they had filed a complaint.
No, they did not. And according to Facebook, what I found interesting about Ms. O'Brien, too, was she did not state the time, but she also mentioned her children. But on Facebook, I believe the times were like 11 p.m. or 12 midnight that this situation happened. But I'd be curious to know what the age of her children are because she said she had just come home.
Yes, I know there's some discussion going on within the different circles about that. So, all right, we appreciate it. Anything else?
Nope. That's thank you for letting me say my piece.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Now that person, by the way, for clarification, is the publisher of the Minneapolis Mirror. Is that right, Mr. Allen?
Say it again. Sorry, Mr. Edwards.
The last caller is a publisher and journalist who publishes the Minneapolis Mirror. Is that correct?
Yes. That's
alternative news. I mean, so we want to be, because things are so sensitive in our city at this particular point. Again, that number, Mr. Allen, because the lines are open. You know, we thought that people really would want to chit chat a tad about just what kind of shape we're in. Particularly, give me your assessment from the right, Mr. Allen, after you give the number. I need to get your assessment from the right on what do you think the Republican strategy is in filing this ethical complaint?
Well, the number here is, well, let me just get to it, I'm sorry, at 347-426-3904. Again, the number is 347-426-3904, and the phone lines are open. From the right.
I want to put my colleague, Mr. Allen, a little bit on the spot from my position on the left. So what do you think, sir, that the strategy of the Republicans are?
I think the strategy that they're trying to move forward is one to – I've been getting emails from the Minnesota GOP about Governor Mark Dayton, and they do have him trapped up a little bit because less than a month ago, Mark Dayton did a full press release and celebrated at a banquet-type situation
Minneapolis Community Action, the CAP agency.
That was one of the best strategic moves they put out. That said, like less than a month ago, and that's what I'm trying to pull up, Mr. Edwards, while we were talking. I was just looking for that because that was very telling in itself. How is he going to take a picture and be upset with the CAP agency, and then, you know, less than what a month, you know, say, oh, this can't happen. Here it goes right here. It was put out. Traveled to Duluth to speak at the Minnesota Community Action Partnership 50th Anniversary Conference. The event, Governor Dayton highlighted initiatives the state of Minnesota implemented to alleviate poverty and the work that remains to improve the economic opportunity for all Minnesotans. Since taking office, the governor has championed initiatives to improve access to affordable housing, health care, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, but this was like less than, you know, this was less than a month ago, August 8th, actually.
Okay. The agency under the control and auspices of William Davis of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, by way of Drake University in Des Moines, Mr. Davis' organization is a part of that association. Am I correct?
Yes, correct. And so I think the folks on the right, the Republican senators, I mean, it was an obligation, but I also think there are some sympathetic DFL types that are saying, what's going on? You know, this is ridiculous. You know, if the CAP agency is supposed to have initiative to fight poverty, increase access to opportunity, work on the minimum wage increase, the Fast Track, which is a brand Fast Track job initiative, where they receive free...
Hold your point there to my colleague on the right. I was shocked that the audit, the state audit, the audit by the state of Minnesota, which the Star Tribune has obtained access to, and, of course, where we stumbled as, you know, a little black entity, indicated that in the job training and placement program that Mr. Davis had under his auspices and control, that they were down to only 4% placement, a 96% failure rate.
Yeah, and see, the Fast Track Job Initiative, I remember this from 2008 and also from 97 working out at the VA. The Fast Track Job Initiative is focused on addressing the skill gaps in the Minnesota workforce. So this is a collaboration between training workers and qualifying workers for vacant job openings in the state of Minnesota. The governor and Governor Dayton and the legislature already invested $3 million to help access Minnesotans access job training. So if you have something out like this out there, Mr. Edwards, no one talked about a compensated work therapy program. Okay, there's hospitals here, there's big insurance agencies here, there's big financial agencies here that, you know, that could take 20 to 50 underemployed people, yellow, red, black, and white, it doesn't matter. If they're underemployed, they're underemployed, and give them a work therapy for 20, 25 hours a week at $10, $15 an hour. And if these people did good over 6 months, they could have an opportunity to hire them on full-time in whatever capacity they were working on under the compensated work therapy program. But
as permanent employees.
Permanent employees. And so this Fast Track Job Initiative, they missed the mark on this, as well as the Academy OIC, but that's a whole different story. And you're wondering, okay, affordable housing access. Now in 2014, you know, Governor Dayton and the lawmakers, they invested $100 million in affordable housing initiatives. And it was supposed to provide 5,000 Minnesota households reliable housing. But we have to ask, where is this housing located? Is it in the city? Is it in Anoka? Is it in Brooklyn? You know, is it in Osseo? Where is this housing located?
Or is it down in Pipestone and Laverne, Minnesota, and Jackson, Minnesota?
Yeah
I kind of get your slant there, if you will, kind of a slant, but I understand what you're saying. But again, I mean, how far do you think the Republicans in the Senate are prepared to go, coming after Senator Hayden, who is also the majority, the majority assistant whip very powerful position. I mean, do you think it's their intent to try to force his colleagues in the Democratic caucus to oust him?
Yeah, well, I think that they're going to focus on him. I don't think necessarily that they'll kick him out of the Senate, but I don't think he'll be reelected at this point for anything, because just because, I mean, I've read all the cap stuff since this has hit the news, Mr. Edwards. The only thing that they have going for themselves is the $50 million in scholarships that help 9,000 low and middle income children attend high quality child care or preschool programs, which turns out, if you look at it from two perspectives, you know, Miss Sandra Samuels and Northside Achievement Zone got a $28 million grant. So this is, again, the DFL conflict of interest. Why would you take state's money of $50 million and do something different on one side and get $28 million over here on this other side when, you know, strength is in numbers? You put that $50 million with that $28 or that $28 with that $50 million, you can make a broader stroke. But out of all the list of stuff that CAP does, I think that, you know, to give them credit, not to just slam them all their things, but to give them credit, that's one thing that kind of works. But again, they're duplicating services as many nonprofit entities, especially in North Minneapolis, do duplicate services and don't really provide any outcomes. So yeah, the Republicans are going after.
All right. So your feeling is that this is a position in which the Republicans will be enunciating and going after Senator Hayden during the hearings. Now, but let's ask the question, because we've talked to legal experts. With the story breaking tomorrow, actually it's already broken, it's already out tonight, that the center of the allegation of conflict of interest has to do with the relationship involving the CSI program. And mm-hmm. So should the CSI leadership be expecting subpoenas and being required to testify before the Senate Committee on Ethics?
I think, Mr. Edwards, that would be the only way to get down to the real evidence. It will be devastating for the black community. I really don't want to see that. But in order for us to reset what's been going on generationally here in the Twin Cities, in the state of Minnesota, for the black community, we have to expose this. You know, we're going to have to make sure that people, you know, they see what's happening here. And I think that everyone from the fiscal agent to the staff to the face of CSI to the coordinators, I mean, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But we need to hear it all. And those senators are not going to sit over there and backpedal. They're going to ask some really hard questions. They're going to ask some of these people, what high school did you graduate from? What college did you go to? How did you get involved in education? You know, what is pie? You know what I mean? Things that I
let me ask this question. What are the constitutionally, what and procedurally, what are the three options open to the Ethics Committee?
I'm sorry, Mr. Edwards. Someone had just, there we go. Can you ask me that one more time? I just have to cut
I'm
the.
I'm sorry, I heard voices in the background. We have people trying to come out of the queue. My question was, what are the three options that the Committee on Ethics has that we can expect? I mean, what, exoneration, charging? I mean, what do we have here in front of us?
Well, I think there's the three things that I think was, like, first one, exoneration. There's no probable cause in this case.
Okay.
Other than a bad black eye, a political bad black eye. Number two, it moves to the next level of a legal action where there's counsel retained by maybe both of the senators or not just one of the senators. And there's something, you know, I mean, we've seen it in Chicago, out on the East Coast and out on the West Coast, where you have African-American politicians, you know, dipping a little bit. And I'm not saying that Hayden dipped. I'm not saying that Senator Champion dipped, but there's some questionable stuff going on here. And number three, I don't know if they can be sanctioned at this point without the other thing, number two, being proven or having probable cause. But what I do think, Mr. Edwards, is I think out of the two complaints that I just read, I don't have them up on the screen right now, I think that...
I do. I have them. I have them. That's why I was asked the question, because the second option actually would be to defer. In other words, allow it to die a quiet death. And then the third is to move ahead with prosecutorial action. That's the reason I was asking. And as I was talking to you, I called it up in my studio. The reason that I'm asking that particular series of questions is that what that will do to the importance of representation, particularly if, and here's the reason, there's an interesting rumor going around now that there is a move afoot to call for the resignation, if not the firing, of Superintendent Bernadette Johnson, because supporters of the senators are saying that she did not tell the truth about the interaction, discussions, and et cetera, leading up to the acceptance of the CSI piece and the money coming over from the legislature. Now, mm-hmm. that could turn into a real barn burner if in fact, there is a move to call for the superintendent's resignation, particularly if it is shown that she has been less than honest about what really happened in her discussions with the, because one of the things the Republicans are saying here in Minnesota is that these individuals, in fact, the one of the senators called Senator Hayden a bully. And, you know, that gets to be kind of serious at that level within that arena, though politics is nasty and ugly and et cetera. And so, What is your take from the right, Mr. Allen? And by the way, are we going to 9:30 or are we going to 10 tonight?
Oh, we're going to 10. We're going to 10 because we got to take our time.
Yes, okay, because we want to get the chance for the lines open if anybody.
Yes.
What do you think is the possibility of a retaliatory action against Superintendent Bernadette Johnson, who is an African-American? What do you think the possibility is?
Well, here we got to take it like this, Mr. Edwards, because – the questions are going to have to be asked. I mean, you and I and some of our listeners right now know the group in question, the CSI group. Okay, we know who's in question here, who those people are, and it would make you wonder. Okay, why would Superintendent Johnson, who is a smart African American woman, a professional, give money to a faith-based organization and that had really, you know, I allege, no experience, and then deal with people who don't have anything with education other than being bullied to do that?
Okay. That's okay. what I am hearing, mm-hmm. as, of course, the rumor mill, and then, of course, with the story, copyrighted story, in tomorrow morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune. By the way, if they go front page again tomorrow, this will be the fourth consecutive day that they've gone front page on these allegations. I must indicate from the left, Mr. Allen, that I still think that these are allegations yet to be proven. But then numbers don't lie. People lie. You know what I'm saying? And Senator Hayden has, on his behalf, he has indicated that the information pans out that William Davis should be removed post-haste, if you will, and I certainly concur. I've known Davis. Davis has been, quote-unquote, operative, if you will, gatekeeper, if you will, in mm-hmm. keeping the gate closed against significant African-American participation in the Democratic Party here in Minnesota. They're comfortable with that. They've been comfortable with his role for years. He's had a number of significant positions along with a man named William English and the Democratic Party. I well remember when they were English was the affirmative action officer for the Democratic Party. and the manner in which African American participation at the delegates level and et cetera. I think, Mr. Allen, that you, and I know I was not happy with it, but I know that you called attention and had posted information that the Democratic Party, as much as they are dependent upon our, you know, the vote of the African American, and I'm speaking, you know, from the left, is that they don't have any black employees in the central office.
Ooh. Well, you're talking about the Ramsey County agency?
No. I'm talking about the Democratic Party. I mean, I'm at the Democratic Party.
Okay.
My enunciation was that William Davis has been a longtime operative for the Democrats and has enjoyed a sweetheart position for 24 years as the head of the CAP agency. And I just was reflecting back on some of the actions and hostilities. You know, I'll never forget that William Davis and English and others led the charge to oust the beloved icon, Nellie Stone Johnson, the mother of the Democratic Party, one of the signatories to the merger of the Democratic Party and the former Labor Party to become the DFL here. And I'll never forget how vicious they were in ousting, and then Ms. Johnson has been deceased for a number of years, but how they were almost gleeful as they removed her from the executive committee and attacked her as white feminists, were very much involved in attacking Nellie because of her support of the right of African Americans to participate in the Democratic Party here in Minnesota. So I have to be up front and indicate that I see that. And so in some cases with Mr. Davis, it appears the chickens are coming home to roost.
I agree 100% with you, Mr. Edwards, because he, you know, there are a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of unanswered questions in this investigation, and people are going to have to decide.
I was just looking at Facebook on another computer here in the studio.
Oh, yeah, you got to, because I could hear a reflect back. Okay, gotcha. You got to take
people,
care of it. I thought it was in my studio. Okay.
And people are really, you know, they can't believe that Senator Hayden or Senator Bobby Joe Champion has done anything wrong. And people have, and these are, you know, they're posts that, hey, I've known him for years, and, you know, I don't believe one word of it. And, I mean, that's okay. That's a good, you know, I think Donald Trump can do no wrong. Okay? So, I mean, anybody can think whoever they want to think can do no wrong.
Well, and that's where you and I are from the left and the right. I've known the family. I know the family, his aunts and et cetera. In fact, I'm very, you know, be very candid up front. We worked together in the civil rights movement of the 60s and et cetera. And so I'm saddened, but I'm also cautious because there has been no real offer of proof as it pertains to the senators, though the superintendent of Dallas Public Schools made serious allegations with them, and when she was questioned by the board about the CSI grant and et cetera, that's when she gave her version of a series of meetings and the way that the senators bullied her. That's how the term bully came up. By the way, phone number 347-426-3904. Again, 347-426-3904. This is the Don and Ron Show, and I'm on with my associate from the right. I've kind of been jamming him a little bit because it's quite clear that the right, the Republicans, if you will, the right wing / have made a move and have filed, is it two counts, Mr. Allen?
Yes.
I don't have the documents.
There's two counts against
Senator Hayden?
Yeah, there's two complaints. Two complaints is what they're calling them. And so they have two complaints, and they're going to see, I mean, they're just going to figure out what's happening. And, I mean, again, Mr. Edwards, this is just common logic and rhetoric put together. So, like I said again, I know there's a lot, I see a lot of people in the queue. The numbers are up there, over 120 people listening live right now, just here in the Twin Cities. That doesn't count. I'm not going to go look at the other states, but, you know, here goes the deal. You, again, I got to repeat this because it's pertinent to what's going on. Okay, you have an organization, a faith-based organization that has not been doing education in the way of achievement gap. And they talked about, Star Tribune said, yeah, the CSI program was to help close achievement gap. The close achievement gap takes a lot of people that are not only, and we have these people in our community that are educators, that are professionals, that understand the significance and the dynamics of what's going on with our children in the Minneapolis Public Schools and the Minneapolis Public School Administration. So, again, Superintendent Johnson, Minneapolis Public School Board Director Gagnon are smart people. They're not, you know, you can't accuse them of being knuckleheads, not really. So my question again is, how did you focus that kind of money to an organization that it has some challenges, that has some people?
Well, let me, but in defense of, from the left, Mr. Allen, right. In defense of Senator, because we keep mentioning two senators, Senator Bobby Joe Champion, who, of course, is also a lawyer. Senator Hayden is not, though he is a brilliant thinker and et cetera. Senator Champion has not had any ethical charges filed against him, but you almost have to think with this two-prong attack by the Republicans, by your friends on the right as opposed to my friends on the left, that they are obviously getting ready to possibly call for somebody in the Senate to step down. Now, do you think that's a strategy from the right, Mr. Allen?
I think that's a strategy. I just think that's common. That's common game here all over when you're dealing with a African American politician or a black politician. Now, Mr. Edwards, if this was 2 years ago, or if this was after the election next year, it might create a little impact. You know, I don't think that it would be as big of a stink as it is raising now in this election year, especially the gubernatorial election. And I think they're using it wisely, and they're doing it professionally, because if they push the envelope on this, people are going to find out some things. And
let me ask this question, Mr. Allen. Again, I'm really, you know, I'm into the kind of from the left.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not hearing anything from the strong so-called contingent of African American leaders who have been asking the two senators to facilitate for them? Why have we not heard from Louis King of OIC, Alfred Babington Johnson of the Stair Step Foundation, the Reverend Jerry McAfee, William English, longtime friend and associate of some of those, a member of the Democratic Inner Circle, and et cetera? I mean, why are we not hearing from them?
I mean,
why have they not rallied, particularly to Senator Hayden? Why have we not heard of, had a press conference, a couple of press conferences, and et cetera? Because the Star Tribune has been tenacious in the information. Why have we not heard from them? I mean, what's your thinking from the right?
Well, I can only speculate, Mr. Edwards, but you know we.
I concur. I mean, that's all we both can do is speculate at this point. What's your speculation?
Well, I think that there is a breakdown in communication. I think groups are separating again, well, like they always have, into silos. And if one person's agenda doesn't agree with the next person's agenda, then them silos break apart. As I shared with you earlier in the week, Mr. Edwards, I got a call from someone who I haven't talked to or seen in 5 years. That is a member of running with this group that I reported did some questionable dealings with City Council person then Jackie Cherryholme on a report on Broadway Avenue, what businesses would be good for the tune of about $50,000. And I don't know where that
not Broadway, also Plymouth Avenue.
Yes. And I don't know where that report is. So, has the Urban League stepped forward in controversy for a black business or a black man? A great example of this, Mr. Edwards, is our friend Mr. John Woods out at New Perspectives Behavioral Health System. You know, he's going through some challenges and
trials and tribulations.
Yes,
trials and tribulations. We had him on last week. Yes.
Yeah. Where is the African-American organizations that say, hey, we're here with you, Mr. Woods. We'll help you. We'll represent you. You know, he's a businessman, and he's not asking for any handout, but there's some conflicting things going on within the county, but no one has called, except for us, of course. And so you look at this, and you wonder, you know, in New York, you know, who you going to call? You can call the Ghostbusters, okay? In Minnesota,
okay.
You're going to call. You know, these freelancers are out freelancing, okay? They're not trying to get behind any one person, any one cause, any one organization. And you could see
that. But they always go to these individuals, such as our two senators, when they want to be, you know, compensated or put in a position to be compensated, and et cetera. And, I mean, I have to ask the question from my long, long, long experience in the political arena, civil rights arena here in the state of Minnesota. I have to ask the question, where are these individuals? Because at this point, Senator Jeff Hayden stands innocent, stands accused, but stands innocent. He is not accused and convicted, and the allegations have been affirmed. And so I have to ask that question because it denotes a serious weakness, and you've touched on that in just the last 8 or 9 minutes. It denotes a real weakness in the fiber of support within the black community. So, I mean, we kind of look forward in the future, as of course we have in the past, that you can always be guaranteed that these individuals that we've named will be the first to throw you under the bus. Oops.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're good for throwing folks under the bus. I mean, we're seeing that in real time right now on different individuals. But, I mean, what do you do? How do you gather Minneapolis, Minnesota, Twin Cities, very small African-American or black population, native-born.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, very small. Enough that we can get enough people to correct it, get together and correct some generational disparities or some things that are happening and move toward a greater base of wealth and happiness. But,
okay.
You know, Mr. Edwards, if you open a restaurant and I open a restaurant, somehow your ice cubes are colder than mine. They're not gonna come to my restaurant because, oh, Mr. Edwards, ice cubes are colder, you know. And if you open a convenience store and I open a convenience store and I have one more pack of cigarettes for sale than you do, they call in the federal regulators on me. Oh, he got three packs, and Mr. Edwards' store only has two packs. And so there's some snakiness going on, and you know the snakes are out there ready to bite you in the ass. You know you can't turn, and this is for full disclosure. For full disclosure, right now, Mr. Edwards, I had a contract with the Minneapolis Public Schools for $15,000. I did my report. I delivered my products based on the specifications from the communications department, who reviewed all my work, approved it, or else I wouldn't have got paid. Okay? I even went 20 hours over to the point where the school district is in debt with me $3,800. Which I have not seen.
Full disclosure.
So, yeah. But let me explain this now, because I bring it up. Well, you got a concept. I know, but I did the work. I did the report. I brought the product in. I did something. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Okay.
So, with that said, when I received my contract, there were several other people in the community getting contracts that weren't saying anything. But as soon as they approved mine, I got my first payment, all hell broke. Why you do that? Why you give that to him? You know, and we're actually calling the school district. Some of the people, names we've mentioned right now, calling the district headquarters and asking them, well, why? Superintendent Johnson asking, you know, I am almost absolutely positive that one of the two state senators called superintendent or the school district communications department and asked them why. Okay, that's bull.
Oh, okay,
That's interference with a contract. Okay, and so, I mean, I don't care if you're elected or you have no business or no right to do that. We do have a call, Mr. Edwards.
All right, let's get the caller.
Okay, caller,
you're
live on the air.
Thing. Go ahead, caller.
Caller, I'm on the air now.
Hey.
Yes.
Yes, this is Mr. M.
M, how you doing, sir? All right.
M is doing fine, but, you know, gentlemen, I'm outraged.
Mm.
I'm outraged. I'm outraged by the doings and the coonery that I'm seeing in the Minneapolis Star and Tribune, the news. This community action fiasco really has really begun to hit home for me, because it really has, because, you know, these people are, you know, bestowed with funds, bestowed with the wherewithal to really make a difference in our community.
Absolutely.
I mean, they don't give us many chances. You know, they really don't. And this is something that I watch this from afar, and I watch and I watch and I watch, and I'm trying to figure out, well, maybe there is some mistake here. Well, maybe there is some. But when I see things like, you know, board members asleep at the wheel, board members saying, well, it's not my fault because I sent somebody else. And if you're a board member, it's your fiduciary responsibility to see what happens with that organization. I don't care who
you
are.
Due diligence. It's also called due diligence in the big book. Yes.
And if you're too busy, well, why don't you step aside and find somebody who isn't too busy to do it?
Right.
You know?
By the way,
I mean,
for our listening audience, and continue to stay with us, for our listening audience, I mean, we're not playing any race card here, because there is enough, quote-unquote, race to go around. One of the people on the board that Mr. M is talking about is the white city council president, the long-serving Barb Johnson, who succeeded, actually. I mean, we keep it a family affair here, who actually succeeded her own mother, the beloved Alice Rainville, on the Minneapolis City Council, and within a couple of years became council president. We have her. We have some others, if you will. We have former council members who should have known better. My God, they should have known better than to take on responsibility, fiduciary responsibility, and not be due diligent.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just give a comparison, Em, because as a caller and as a resident of this city, you certainly have a right to offer your opinion. Others that didn't call in, that's their problem. We lost the St. Paul Urban League. See, nobody likes to talk about that in this town, or in this case, our sister city of St. Paul. The St. Paul Urban League, which is basically still rare, was totally gutted and wiped out because of mismanagement for 20 years, Mr. Allen. You and I talked about that on the program a couple of years ago. Because of significant mismanagement, if you will, theft and et cetera, and the white corporate community of St. Paul grew tired of black malfeasance and nonfeasance and et cetera, and gave the wink, and they pulled the plug. And, you know, we all know that there was just almost silence in St. Paul from so-called black leadership.
And that's so sad because, Mr. Edwards, in the days of Willa Mae Wilson,
mm-hmm.
at that Urban League, in those days, that was one of the most effective organizations in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Under her direction in St. Paul.
Yeah, but she let it slip away from her. Yeah, they let it slip away. We looked up, St. Paul Urban League was gone. Zoop. And we've been talking for a couple of years, and my God, we all know the Minneapolis Urban League is just hanging on. You know, things are so bad in some regards, Mr. Allen. When I went into the meeting this morning, plastered over the front door is the following: space for rent. I can remember when every office, every closet was occupied by the Urban League of Minneapolis.
Yep.
They got so much vacancy in there now. It's just, gentlemen, it is unbelievable. It's frightening. And, Em, correct me if I'm wrong. I think we're in big trouble.
How much trouble do you think we're in? We're in huge trouble because, like you say, those organizations, the St. Paul Urban League, the Minneapolis Urban League, they were stalwarts. I mean, their jobs programs, when I was in college, when I first got out of college and started working for the state of Minnesota, the Division of Rehabilitation Counseling,
mm-hmm.
I networked with the St. Paul Urban League. I put a deal together where we networked with them, and then I went to the Model Cities health clinic
Model
in St.
City,
Paul.
My God, yes.
Miss
yes,
Van,
she was
there,
yeah.
And she had me set up a table there at noon every day to distribute flyers and to talk to the community. And, you know, and I was young then, but they showed me how to do things for the community. They brought me in there and helped me. And that's what was so huge about those things. They took me as a young man, just out of graduate school, to become a community activist. Showed me how to do it. Not that I wanted to do it, not that I knew, but they said, this is what you need to do to help your community. You have a state job, and you can spread the word out to the community for the disabled in our community.
But we don't have
this leadership. We don't, you know, they talk about going to spas and going to Arrowhead and going out. This is a bunch of foolishness. Somebody making $250,000 a year got to take a loan out to buy themselves a car out of that pool of money.
Let me just
when they have plenty of money and they can go ahead and get their own car going. I'm appalled by it. I'm appalled by it, and I'm outraged.
Yeah. All right. And we want to point that out to our listening audience that one of the other allegations against Mr. Davis of the CAP agency here, a man who in 2011, according to his tax returns, made $275,000 last year. By the way, he accepted a bonus of $17,000.
Oh,
he made the board give him $36,000, right, Mr. Allen?
Yes.
So
yes.
He could buy him a new car. Because they wouldn't give him a car allowance, so he just said, well, give me $36,000 and let me buy a new ride.
Well, why is the board kowtowing to him? He reports to the board.
Why are they
kowtowing to him? I don't understand that. I don't understand the dynamics of that.
I think none of us do. And if you go on the website of the Minneapolis Star Tribune and see far too many citizens, though there are a lot of black citizens, but far too many white folks are saying, there it is. They are totally irresponsible and unqualified and unable and uneducated to run anything beyond a Kool-Aid cart, okay? And that is tragic because what that does is that gentleman, we the three of us know it, that translates into, that's why we don't hire them.
Exactly. And that's what, the monies are allocated, and this has gone on. I mean, this gentleman, Mr. Davis, who actually I have history with back from Mankato, Minnesota, when I went to college there, he showed up there. He came to Mankato. He was in Mankato when he first came into this town. I forget where he came from.
He came from Drake University in Des Moines.
I've known him when he showed up on the campus of Mankato State University.
Yeah,
and
he came from Des Moines by way of Philadelphia.
And Mr. Edwards, we have one more caller on hold.
Ooh, Mr. Edwards, I just, you know, you just bring so much to this party that I can't even tell you.
Yes,
exactly,
sir.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly where he came from, and I remember that.
That's right. That's where he came from. Yeah. Yeah.
But to be in charge of these, you know, they have the stewardship entrusted to you for that long. I mean, I think he's been there, I think we said 20 years or thereabouts.
24 years.
And this organization
24 years
he's
been the executive director.
And at one point had done some good things. So this is a person that knows better. This is a person that at one time.
I like that.
This is a person that at one time, I mean, you're seeing their statistics, you see the people that they have, you're seeing it plummet. You're seeing
it
plummet.
It dropped by 96%.
It's plummet.
Again,
plummeting.
That's not Donnie and Ronnie making it up. It is the information obtained from the audit by the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well,
96% it dropped.
You know, Mr. Allen, are you there?
Yeah, I am here. Yes, sir.
Mr. Allen, now, do you know this Mr. Davis character?
Yes, I do. Okay.
Mr. Allen, like to know what your input on this situation is.
He always turned his nose up at me in public.
Thank you.
And
oh,
I was
man.
Like, well, oh. damn. I was like, dude, oh. you know, I could, you know, and it was like, okay, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat, but he knows you're a Republican. So he didn't care. It didn't matter. I was just, I could have a suit on, be clean as a tack in the same meeting, and I was just below him.
That comment. You know, like I said, I met this gentleman when he came to Mankato. when he came there. And I was an upper graduate student, and I would run in. I'd run into him in the community. He doesn't say a word to me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Doesn't speak to you.
But I knew him. I knew him back when. I mean,
yeah,
I knew him when he
him.
First set foot here in Minnesota. I met him then. We're the same institution, same from Mankato. And
yeah.
So those that type of arrogance, that type of attitude, this type of is so unnecessary. I mean, if you're about community and you're about people, well,
absolutely.
You don't throw, you don't put your nose up about that.
We
bring
have
some
one more call, Mr. Edwards, before we run out of time.
All right,
here.
Tim, we appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank
we'll try to get
it.
We're going to try to get this final
call. All right,
call.
Guys,
thank
take
you,
care.
Sir. All
right,
all right, all right. Go ahead,
okay,
caller.
Sir. You're live on the air.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
This is the Don Ron Show.
Yeah, we were just talking about you. Go ahead, sir. We have about a minute.
How you doing?
Okay, sir.
Anyway, I just want to make a comment about everything that's going on in terms of this scandal that's going on. Why is it the people, I mean, for years they keep going to these people and they keep selling the people out, you know, and basically it's greed, you know, and the fact that we really don't have a community. What we have is a neighborhood. If we had a community and the community stuck together, we could do a whole lot of things. But we don't have a community. Community has been gone for over 20 years. They destroyed our community. And the people that's in power and place that we keep going to time and time again, and they keep selling us out. They're not leaders. They're deal makers. They make the deals, tell the people to go home, and, hey, nothing never gets did. And so that's what we really need to work on as a community. But we're so divided on so many issues, we can't come together on one thing. And that's another problem, and that's our problem. But we keep going to these people, I don't know any of them, never seen none of them, and you expect different results, and they keep doing the same thing. They bought and paid for.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate it, my brother. Try to rejoin us next week.
Thank you.
All right. Yep, thank you, Mr.
Wood. Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. Well, Don, I guess we're down to the last minute. Is that right?
Yeah, we have about a minute and a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, we may try to bring in a constitutional expert next week, you know what I'm saying, to kind of walk us through. I've asked some fairly, you know, tough and challenging questions of my colleague with regards to what the right is thinking. I think that Mr. Allen's response is pretty much, unfortunately for me, on the left, on point, if you will, on target. Well, I don't want to use that. We are at war again, once again. Mm-hmm. But I'm really concerned, gentlemen, with regards to the future of African American, the presence of an African American political influence at the state capitol in St. Paul. We could be seeing the swan song for another 25 years of African American presence in the Senate of the state of Minnesota.
Yeah,
take us home, James Brown. Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Zero. See you next week.
Matter. Some say it's a lot of nerve, but I say we won't quit moving until we get what we deserve.